say that through all of your problems, he has blessed you, that helps the person sitting next to you. Like, I was just sitting here remembering when I was talking with my sister over here, and she said, I don't have a job. I'm looking for a job, and it's been a while since I had a job. And sometimes God puts you through something so that he knows when he blesses you that you're going to say, God did it. Now she got two jobs, and she got to choose which one she's going to go to. That's God. He takes care of his own. You know, and sometimes, you know, we need that relaxation and that rest. So he takes us out of the workplace so that we can spend time with him, and he continues to meet every need that we have in our lives. He does not stop blessing you even though you're not working. And even, to be honest with you, even if you don't have a dime to put in the offering, he still continues to bless you. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Okay, well, I just want to make sure that, you know, you're with me here. There are some things I need to talk to you about, but I want to first go before the Lord, so would you bow with me? Father, we just come before you this morning to thank you for your loving kindness, for your grace, and for your mercy upon our lives. And Lord, as we go into our time of worship, Lord, we ask this morning for a one-on-one. Lord, that you might speak to each and every one of us in person, Lord, one-on-one, that we might have a one-on-one experience with you this morning. Lord, we stand ready for your amazing grace upon our lives. We stand ready, Lord, for you to speak to us as only you can speak to us. Lord, we know that there are things in our lives that we're still struggling with, but Lord, we know that you can break every worldly chain that may hold us back from serving you as you would have us to be served. Lord, we also recognize that in our walk with you, Lord, that you have given each and every one of us an assignment that you are looking for, your blessing, and your wanting us to complete during our time here on earth. So, Lord, we ask that your spirit would just strengthen us, Lord, to do that which you've called us to do with power and with authority. Lord, we want to hear from you this morning and from only you, that you might cause us to grow in our relationship with you, that you would cause us to grow, and that you would encourage us in every area of our lives that we may continue to serve you. Lord, we look for you to continue to shower us with your grace, that you would continue to speak to us, that you would continue to give us favor as only you can give. Lord, that we might accomplish in this life and in this body that which you would have us to. We just thank you, Lord, for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. I wanted to thank Joel for the opportunity of being here again and the opportunity to stand before you, because I don't look at it as being something that is supposed to happen. I look at it that God has spoken to him and he has responded with me being here. This morning, I would like to have you to turn in your Bibles to Romans, the sixth chapter of Romans, and we're going to look at something a little differently this morning, as it is with me, the beginning of a group of sermons that would help you in your walk with the Lord. So if you would join me in Romans, the sixth chapter, we're going to talk about kingdom agenda, what God would have you to do, how God would have you to live, how God would have you to function in your life and in your relationship with him. Now, we sit here together and we know that sometime we come up with an agenda for our lives. We decide what our goals are. We decide what we're going to try to accomplish in life. We decide that on a day-to-day basis. We decide that on a week-to-week basis. And sometimes we even sit down and we plan out our whole life. We sit down and we plan out what we're going to do when we finish high school and what we're going to want to accomplish when we are ready to retire. And a lot of times we do not even consider God in that whole process. You know, we do it to meet our goals, and we never include God in our process of thinking. And one of the things that we need to understand is that there are two worlds. There is God and there is Satan. And that we have to understand that we are called to one or the other. God is calling us to follow his agenda because he has created us for his plan and for his purpose. But because of our sin nature, because of our rebellion, because of us our submitting to those things of the world, we sometimes will draw to those things of the world more so than we will draw to God. Because we have to always remember that we still have this flesh. And this flesh will always keep us in trouble if we don't hold it in check according to God's word. Are you with me? Okay, so what we need to understand that as we walk this walk is that God is calling us to his agenda, the right way or the way he wants us to live, and he wants us to understand that we can only have one master. Our master is either going to be God or our master is going to be Satan. Are you with me? Now, if we go back and we look at Adam. Adam fell into sin. And because of Adam falling into sin, everyone sitting in here has inherited that sin condition. Now, we may not like it. We may think it was unfair that Adam fell into sin and we inherited it, but that is what has happened. We have inherited that way of thinking. We have inherited that way of life. And then what has happened is, along with just inheriting it, we have allowed it to take control of us. Now, what Paul is saying to us in Romans, the 7th chapter, is that I fight every day. I fight all the time with this action of what I know I should do, I don't do. What I want to do, I find myself not doing. And I understand that it's this evil. I understand that it's this sin. I understand that it is the adversary. And I go back and I look at Ephesians and I understand that I'm wrestling every day against spiritual principalities. I'm wrestling every day with the action of trying to do what I want to do in my body. And God is saying to you sitting here this morning is that you can't do it. You cannot fight and beat the devil at his game on your own. The more you try, the smarter he becomes. Okay, when you think maybe I've won in this area, without having the assistance, without having the direction, without having a relationship with God, then that's when the devil makes himself even more real in your life. You have to understand that the sin that Adam started in the Garden of Eden, you have inherited it. It is part of you. Just think about it. Has the devil ever entered your mind with thoughts when you were trying to pray? You're focusing on the Lord. You're focusing on what he has done for you. And sometimes, even before you start to pray, you have spent time giving God praise for what you know he has done in your life. And then as soon as you go into your prayer closet and you start to pray, the devil says, I want interest. And he comes up with thoughts. And sometimes he even comes up with thoughts of stuff that you never even thought about before. You with me? And then there's those times when temptation comes. And you feel, I am strong enough to walk away from this temptation without the help of the Lord. You ever been there? Let me give you the example. I was in the store and supermarket, and I was first going to go through the line where, you know, you ring yourself out and bag your stuff, okay? But there was just too many people standing there, so I got in line with the cashier, and I only had 3 items. But she miscounted. I gave her 20, and she miscounted my money, and she gave me $5 back more than I gave her. Now, I'm standing there with $5 more than I'm supposed to have. Do you think that was of the Lord? Do you think, was that of the Lord? Yeah. The Lord decided to bless me and cause her to have a problem with her till, right? So since the Lord was going to bless me, I'm supposed to take the $5 and just walk out the store. What we don't understand is that the devil is not a guy walking around with a pitchfork in a red suit. The devil has been around a long time. The devil was in heaven. Satan will use every scheme possible. Now, I gave her the $5 back, and you know what she did? She said, oh, no, I gave you the right change. This is your $5. Now, that was a second chance for me to say God is trying to bless me. But I had to then turn around and say, look at your register. Look at what the cost was. Now count the money in my hand. And did you know, after going through that, she didn't even say thank you when she took the $5 back from me? Now, because she didn't say thank you, I was supposed to keep the $5. That's the way we sometimes think when we're outside of the Lord. When we're doing things in ourselves, when we're being led by the Holy Spirit, not led by the Holy Spirit, we do things and we try to justify our position. Temptation comes into our lives, and we have to make sure that when temptation comes into our lives is that we are doing what God would have us to do. In that situation, I knew it was the evil one trying to gain ground in my life. And in your walk every day, you feel you have the same situation. It may not be in the supermarket, but you run into a situation where you are tempted and you need to be able to understand what the adversary, what Satan is trying to do in your life. When we come into the church, one of the reasons that most of our churches do not grow, one of the reasons that we have so many problems in our churches is because we bring the world into the church instead of taking the church into the world. We live in communities where we profess to be Christians, and people that see us question what Christianity is about because they see how we live. And what God is saying to us, and he wants us to grab hold of, is that he understands this fight that goes on in us. He understands that we want to do what is right. He understands that we are in this battle 24/7 with whether we are going to submit to the evil one or whether we're going to submit to him. He understands that we are always in this battle with sin, that sin is always pervasive, and that if we do not stay prayed up, if we do not stay walking with the Lord, then God knows that Satan will pull us in. Let me show you how powerful Satan is. Do you understand that when Satan was in heaven, before he got kicked out of heaven, he was one of the top angels? I mean, he had a place with the Lord. And that because of his disobedience, when God kicked him out of heaven, he took his gang with him. He took one third of the angels of heaven with him. So you know what kind of influence he had? He had influence over one third of the angels that they believed him more than they believed God. So what do you think he can do in your life if he get in there? If he can pull one third of God's angels from heaven and have God to cast them down to this little green marble called earth, what do you think he can do in your life? So what Paul is talking about is this continual battle with knowing what is right, but not doing it. What Paul is talking about is this continual battle of fighting evil, fighting Satan and his demons on a continual basis. What Paul is talking about is the fact that you need to understand that this is not just a game of dodgeball, but that Satan is trying to kill, steal, and destroy you. And you have to understand that God has come back and he has come up with a plan for you so that you would understand where Satan is trying to go. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking in Romans, the 6th chapter, and we're going to start at verse 6. And we're going to walk through these verses because I want you to get the picture that Paul is trying to paint as we walk through this. And this morning, for a title, this is You Need to Know. You need to know. So as we go through this, I want you to walk with me, but you need to have your Bibles, because really, this is some of that deep stuff that you need to know. Are you with me? Now, I want you to understand that in this whole process, there are some things that you need to know as we go through this. So let me walk you through it so that you understand what we're going to be talking about. Is that in your walk with God, from the time of your birth until you die, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You're not here to do your thing, but God has placed you here because he has a plan and a purpose for your life, and that you need to understand the kingdom perspective, because as you understand the kingdom perspective and as you understand his agenda for your life, that's when you will be blessed in what you do. Because God will step into your life as you allow him and give him control of your life, as you submit to his will, and he will encourage you in everything that you do. He will be that person, that cheerleader as you go through life. He will be encouraging you. He will cover you with his grace. He will bless you with his mercy. He will love you as no one else can love you as you submit to him. Along with loving you, he will bless you in manners that you cannot even comprehend with your human mind. He will also comfort you in your time of need. And along with that, he has already developed, and he wants you to develop, a eternal perspective. He doesn't want you to just look at your life here on earth, but he wants you to develop a internal perspective on where you're going and how he's going to lead you through this whole process. He wants you to understand that you have been living under a worldly agenda, and he wants you to live under a godly agenda. Now, how does he want you to do that? He wants to affect how you live as a child, because he has standards for you as a child. He has standards for you as a single person. He has standards for you as a married person. He has standards for you as a family. He has standards for you as you work within the workplace, as you work within your community. His standards have to become your standards. You have to adopt them. You have to live by them. They have to become the way you walk, the way you live. And as we go forward, and probably the next time I come or the next time after that, I will start to break down each area of your life and have you to understand how God wants to impact your life with his agenda so that he can be a blessing blessing to you in every area of your life. Not just the point that, you know, we can say we pray and we ask him for something and he gives it to us, but he wants you to understand that he wants to be in every area of your life as you follow his agenda. He wants to be in your agenda even as you come to church and worship, that before you even get to this building, that you have already started worshiping him at home, and this is just a combination of your worship all week. That worship is not just for an hour and a half here on Sunday, but you started worshiping him last Monday, and today is just a combination of all your worship through the whole week. And now he's being glorified today because as you worship him all week, as you walk by his agenda, today he just wants you to thank him. Praise him for what he's doing in your life. That's what this whole process is about. That I want you to understand as we start to look here, that there, I guess the example that I came up with was that in a football game, you got 11 players on one side, you got 11 players on the other side. And the goal is to get the football across the goal line. Now, you are a player. Whether you're the quarterback, whether you're defensive end, whether you're running back, you're a player in the game. But the coach, God, comes up with the plans. He makes up the game plan. And he expects you to follow the game plan. And in this case, it's his agenda. He wants you to follow his kingdom agenda for as long as you live here on earth. Another example would be that in archery, when you pull that bow back, the arrow back on the bow, your goal is to hit the target in the center. And God is saying that your goal in life is to hit his agenda target in the center. That you would hit the target because you are living the life that he would have you to live. Now, as we go over here, now this is where I want you to pull out your pen. I want you to pull out your paper. I want you to pull out your Bible, because this is something we're going to walk through, but I know God is going to speak to you in your quiet times during the week so that we can all be on the same page. Now, what we want you to do is go down to six. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. What is Paul saying there? Paul wants us to understand that we should understand, it should be clear in our minds that our old self was crucified with Christ. Now, one of the things that you need to understand is that in crucifixion, they don't hang you on the cross, and then after you have been there for 20 minutes, 30 seconds, they take 30 seconds, they take you down. When you are crucified, you are hung on that cross until you are dead. And sometimes they even leave you up there after you are dead as a reminder to everyone else, if they break the law of the Romans, this is what's going to happen. So you need to understand that as we look at verse 6, that your old self, your sinful self, yourself that lived to the world, yourself that was conformed to the world, that side of you was crucified with Jesus Christ on the cross in order that our body of sin might be done away with. In essence, what he's saying is that you have hung on the cross with Christ. Now you are dead to sin. In another way of putting it is that you have to decide to commit sin. You with me? I want you to understand, because this is important for you to understand, that you have to decide that you're going to commit sin. You know, there's that saying that that Flip Wilson used to say, that the devil made me do it. You have to release yourself. You have to decide, I'm going to commit sin. Now, if I go back and look at my situation in the supermarket, I had to decide whether I was going to keep that $5. Think about in your life those situations that you had to make a decision on whether you're going to commit sin. It may be presented to you. The Holy Spirit may place it there. Excuse me, Satan may place it there, but you have to decide that you're going to do it. Want that to marinate for a second. He then goes on to say to us in verse 7, for he who has died is free from sin. You have died, you are now free from sin. Now, this is where he starts to really get deep for us. Now, if we have died through Christ, with Christ, we believe now that we also live with him. So what he's saying to us, and he wants us to understand, is that because of Christ's death and because of his resurrection, everything that he has promised us, everything that he has said he would do, we now are recipients of it. Are you with me? We are now recipients of everything that Christ did that we would be recipients of because he goes to the cross and because of his resurrection. Now, what we have to also do is we have to go back and look at his word. We have to start to look at his promises. We have to come to understand all that he has promised us so that when we go to him in prayer, that we are able to ask him for those things that he has promised us. A lot of us, we never open our Bibles except on Sunday, so we have no idea of what God has promised us since he was going to the cross and what we would receive because of his resurrection. So God says to us, everything that I have promised you is now available to you because I died and I have been resurrected. And now as we stand, as I sit at my Father's right hand, it's all available to you. Then he goes on to say to us in verse number 9, knowing that Christ has been risen from the dead is never to die again. Death no longer is my master. In essence, what God wants you to understand is that because of his resurrection, because he now sits at the right hand of the Father, he is no longer a master to death. He is no longer a master to sin. That's what you need to understand, that you are no longer a master to Satan. Satan is no longer your master. Let me clear that up. Satan is no longer your master, but your master is Jesus Christ. And as long as you are facing him, as long as you are doing what he wants you to do, as long as you are following his agenda, he's going to bless your life supernaturally. He's going to do those things in your life, that some of those things that you don't even ask for. Because, you know, sometimes we have those thoughts in our mind of things that we want, but we don't even talk to God about them, because we feel that we are not worthy of what we're asking God for. And what God wants us to understand is because of our relationship with him, because we have died to sin, he says, what I want you to understand as we go back and look at James, and look at 1 John, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once we are cleansed from all righteousness, then we have that right to go before God and say, Abba, Father, and to pray to him and ask him for those things that we need. Because he's saying that because of your dying in me, because of our relationship now where I am now your master, you are no longer master to sin. Sin is no longer your master. That now those things that you need in this life, those things that you need in this life, from the time of your birth to the time of your death, I've already planned it. There is nothing that you need that I have already placed before you. It's whether you're going to trust me. Now, where we get caught up at is waiting. Because we live in this society now where we want it now. How many of you go into McDonald's, get in line, and you start to wait and you get upset because you're waiting? McDonald's now. I'm not saying you went into a restaurant and sat down waiting for your food, but you get into McDonald's and they take too long to bring your food. Fast food. And a lot of us, we look for that from God. We look at, hey, when I move over here, God, I got my hands out waiting for it. And if I don't get it, then I have to decide whether I'm going to do it in myself. And what God says to us is that the fruit of the Spirit has to be present in our lives. We have to be patient. Let me back up on that one. We have to become patient. You know how patient God has been with you? Just think about it. Wait a minute. The best way to do it is this. I'll demonstrate it and then you can do it, okay? Look over your shoulder. Okay? As you look over your shoulder, think about your earlier days and how God was patient with you when you were in sin, how God was patient with you when you were living to the flesh, how God was patient with you when you were caught up in worldly things, how God was patient with you even now that you have accepted him into your life, but some of those grave clothes that you had when you were in the world, you brought those grave clothes into your life. God is saying to you that because of our new relationship, you are no longer a master to sin. That your relationship with me has changed your position. Now I'm your master, and I have a specific agenda for your life. I want to bless you in every area of your life, and I stand ready to do that. All I need is a child that is submissive and is willing to give his will over to me and allow me to and surrender his life to me, submit to me, and become obedient to me in every area of his life. If you are willing to do that, then God will open up the riches of heaven and pour down blessings upon you that you have not room enough to receive. Now, when I gave you part of that, that goes back into Malachi, and it talks about, you know, the point of giving. But God says that, you know, in you giving, he gives back to you even 3, 4, 5, 10-fold. So what I want you to understand is that we stand where we can be blessed supernaturally if we will submit our lives totally to God and not do that. And I thought about this when I was going over my sermon. Some of us live just that way. Sunday we up here, Monday we down here. So Sunday we back up here, Monday we back down here. And God is saying, I have elevated you. I have brought you to a new level in me because you have died to sin. Now, I want you to go down to verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. In Galatians 2:20, Paul talks about the point that he recognized Christ's death on the cross. And he says to us, the life that I now live, I live to the glory of God. Is that where you are now? That because you know that you now have died and you are now in Christ and that sin no longer controls you, but you decide whether you're going to commit sin, but you have made the position that because of Christ, the life that I now live in this body, knowing that I've been going through, that knowing that I am now saved, that I am eternally saved, that I will be going to heaven, that the life that I live here now on earth, I live to the glory of God. That's important, because every day you become a testimony to God. You become a testimony to God in your household. You become a testimony to God in your community. You become a testimony to God in your neighborhood. Then he says to us, so that we can close out here, is that even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you obey its lust. Knowing that you are dead to sin, then God is saying, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Repentance. When you commit sin and the Holy Spirit convicts you of the sin, repentance. There should not be a day that goes by that you have not spent time repenting to the Lord, because you did something. If you don't know what you did, ask God and he will let you know what you did. But every day there should be a time of repentance, because you are no longer living to yourself, but you're living to God. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you obey its lust. And do not go to the present members of your own body to sin or instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the sin, from death, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Let us sin because we are not under the law, but under grace. May it never be. In summary, you were in sin. You live for sin. You did sin. You live to do sin. For some reason, you came to understand that when I want to do right, there's something in me telling me I can't do it. Evil. Sin. When you gave your life to Christ, one master came out. That master was Satan. Your master then became Jesus Christ. You died with him, and you no longer are under the authority of sin. You have been freed from sin. Sin does not dominate you anymore. Because of that, you have to commit to committing sin. You have to agree with Satan, I'm going to do this. You have to cause your relationship with God, your relationship with Christ, to take a back seat to your desires of Satan. Now, although God is your master, you can move away from him to commit sin. The process that you need to understand is that every time you submit to sin as a Christian, you make God out to be a liar. God then has to deal with you in a way you don't want him to deal with you. When I was growing up, it was 10 of us in the house. And every so often, I had a brother, the one under me, always stayed in trouble. And he would get spanked. And it was 10 of us in a 3-bedroom house. All the boys was in one room, and we had bunk beds on 3 walls. And when my father came in to punish him, sometime all of the rest of us would be in the bed. And sometime I would be thinking about doing something. But when my father came in the room and grabbed my brother and had his belt, and I saw him stroking my brother, what I was thinking about doing left. You know why? It's because I don't like spankings. In your relationship with God, if you surrender yourself to Him, He's going to bless you in ways you cannot imagine. But if you slip back into your old nature and you start doing those things that you know you're not supposed to be doing, if you start yielding to temptations that God has given you an out, because the word says that every time the temptation is put in front of you, God gives you a way of escape. We have to choose whether we're going to make that escape or not. Now, what happens is if we don't take the escape route and we fall into sin, at some point in time, God is going to have to spank us to get us back in line. I have never been spanked for the same thing twice. I don't like pain. You have to choose in your new relationship with God whether you're going to walk according to His agenda for your life and allow Him to bless you supernaturally. In the coming weeks, we're going to talk about how He can bless you in your family life. We're going to talk about how He can bless you in your financial life. We're going to talk about how He can bless you in your single life. We're going to tell you how He can bless you even as you prepare for retirement. We're going to talk about how He can bless you in every area of your life. We're going to walk through those things. But the thing that you need to understand, it requires that you make the stance that I am not going to allow this 38 cent of dust to fall into sin. I am going to walk with Him because I know I have been freed from sin. I know that He is now, my agenda is now a kingdom agenda. And in my kingdom agenda, I'm only going to do what Christ is calling me to do because I want to live a life that will glorify Him, that will advance His kingdom, and will open up the door for His blessings upon my life. Father, we just thank You for our time. We just thank You for what You have said and for how You have said it. Lord, we just pray that Your children will look again into Romans, the 7th chapter, will look again into Romans, the 6th chapter, and allow You to speak into their lives individually, Lord, that they may come to understand clearly, Lord, this new relationship that has happened in their lives as they've come to submit themselves to You and as they understand that Christ went to the cross for them and at the same time they went to the cross and that they have died to sin, and in dying to sin they have this new relationship where Christ is the master of their lives. And He wants to bless them supernaturally. And then even more so, Lord, they have been freed from sin and the penalty of sin. And all they need to do is to submit their will to God and to You, Lord, so that they may be blessed in a supernatural manner. We ask, Lord, Your blessing upon our time, that You and You alone would be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen.
We have Christ's promises. Let's stand on them.